Today on NFTs Made Simple, we've got co-founder and CEO of the Bulls and Apes Project. We've got Anthony Mangiello in the house. Dragon, you excited?
Bulls and Apes? I'm in. Let's do this.
This project is big. One of the bigger projects that we've looked at. Really fleshed out. Tons of value. I don't know what else to say. Let's get into the episode. NFTs are changing the world, and change can feel complicated and scary. But listen, you don't need a computer science degree. You don't need to learn how to code. You just need practical skills to win.
If you are here, you are in the 1% of humans that are preparing for this major cultural shift. We're going to keep it fun. We're going to keep it light. We're going to make it practical. Welcome to NFTs Made Simple.
Just a reminder, we are not financial advisors. This is not financial advice, and you should do your own research.
Hey, let's get into it.
Anthony, welcome to NFTs Made Simple. What's up?
How's it going? How you guys doing?
We are excited to be here. I know Dragon is excited to be here. He's still here after a trip to the Amazon, still alive, still kicking. And we're ready to talk NFTs today, baby. The Bulls and Apes Project, Anthony. This is exciting. You've got quite a project here. Very impressive.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Our philosophy is just to over-deliver until people pay attention. So that's what we've been trying to do.
I got to tell you, the first time I heard the name Bulls and Apes, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I got a little aroused. I mean, so where did that name come from? I mean, it's obviously it caught Dragon's attention right away.
Yeah, for us, it was always around trying to capture the essence of what it was like to be in Web3. Financially motivated, so bull market, charging in, aping into investments, reckless abandon, you know, people that are risk takers. You know, we felt like that's why a lot of us came to Web3. You know, we came here because it was new. We came here because it was exciting. We came here because we wanted to be one of the first.
I'm thinking, Mark, we should start a new company called Blocks and Chains.
Blocks, chains, and blades and baseball bats as it goes. If we were starting a fight club. One of the things that's interesting to me, Anthony, is, you know, you and the development team, which you've all fully doxed yourselves. You all have a pretty impressive background. You're not newbies. No. Into the business world. I'm just kind of wondering, how did you get into NFTs? How did you get your launch pad going?
Yeah, so for me personally, I heard Mark Cuban, Gary Vee talking about Web3 and blockchain. And in my corporate background, insurance, I was big into insure tech. So I knew about blockchain technology from the insurance world. It's a big topic there. But when I started hearing about the use cases around NFTs and, you know, digital owning assets on the blockchain, that's when I started really getting interested, removing gatekeepers, removing intermediaries, you know, not having to go through a bank or DMV to make a transaction. You know, those are the kind of things I was like, wow, this could be a big impact on a lot of people's lives. I was like, I gotta learn a little bit more. And then when I got there, I saw that just the community aspect around it. You know, it's I always use the analogy, it's like Instagram. You didn't have to go to Instagram to share photos. You had Snapfish and Amazon and whatever else. But Instagram happened to be that place that everybody was congregating, sharing photos, commenting, liking, you know, sharing information with family and friends. I feel like Web3, that was the same thing for me, NFTs in particular. It was this place where creativity and collaboration came together, this entrepreneurship came together, this ideas of how can we use this technology to really help others, to bring opportunity to others. And that's part of our vision for the company, is to create a world of infinite opportunity. And I do believe that the blockchain technology does that by removing the gatekeepers and intermediaries. It's permissionless, and that's going to open up opportunities to people that maybe otherwise wouldn't have had it.
It's interesting to look at the idea that somebody from the insurance world, knowing what you know from that world, makes total sense how you would be immediately attracted to, you know, blockchain, Web3, and all that stuff. Because who would know better than somebody from that world at with what its value is? So I'd never thought of that before. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I went from this boring conservative industry to
jumping. I was going to say, man, it sounds pretty boring.
Yeah. Hey, look, I made a career out of it, and I enjoyed it, but. Yeah, no, it's nothing like Web3 and NFTs and crypto and, you know, the ups and downs. And, you know, we launched right in the middle of a bear market. So that, you know, it was right when we, had the challenging times and, you know, it's been a good ride.
What's interesting to me, you know, I come from a boring background too. I was in the insurance industry for over a decade.
Yeah. That was a little bit of a side, It was a little bit of a side poke at you, Mark. I don't know if you picked up on that.
I listen, that's why I'm hopping in here. I have to just kind of see the similarities between Anthony and I, because, you know, I went from a very boring industry and now I'm in media production and I get to interview and look at cool projects all the time. So one of the things I noticed about your project, Anthony, is it's not boring. It's you know, going from a kind of a boring, slow, just the facts, ma'am type of industry into like Bulls and Apes. We're exciting. We have all these different varieties. There's gameplay behind it. There's tokenization. I'm just kind of wondering, how did you make that shift? Because you're the CEO of the company. You got the vision, baby. How did you make that shift from a boring insurance industry into exciting new NFT technology with the Bulls and Bears?
So I've always had my hobbies, and big time collector. So as a kid, collecting cards and comics. As an adult, I collect wine. I have a nice wine collection. And so the idea of collecting and bringing sets together, you know, that's always something that's been of interest to me. And, you know, right now I feel like what we're seeing is there's a lot of people that are 30, 40, 50 years old that are tapping into their inner child through the Bulls and Apes project. You see some of the conversations of people like, oh, I got to earn my methane. I've got to get my incubator. I've got to get a teen. I've got to get a God Bull. They're playing the game, and you could see them, you know, living back to their childhood through it. The lore, we have over an hour of animated storyboard lore, and the adults are captivated by it. Their kids are captivated by it. It's multi-generational appeal. We really have something around the IP that we are really just starting to tap into. But this idea of adults, you know, tapping into their back to their childhood, I feel like is really being captured in the NFT space, and we're jumping all over that big time.
Dragon, I don't know about you, but I'm hearing, when I hear Anthony talk, I'm hearing some of that V Friends kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Like the gameplay and the story and how important that is to the brand.
Yeah, I'm just curious to know. I mean, it sounds like we've got somebody that has grown up kind of like Mark and I, following Gary V. You know, I mean, like, it's interesting because when we started this, you know, Anthony, we started NFTs Made Simple. We were completely unaware. We were interested, but looking on the outside in, the whole purpose of this is Mark and I said, hey, let's take the next 10 years of our life and become experts in the field. And at that time, you know, we were very, very intrigued by Gary V. And I hear the way you're speaking right now. And that's the kind of NFT stuff that we like: value, utility, but also community. And it sounds like, let's put it this way. When I hear somebody like you, I say, it makes sense why this guy's so excited about it, because it's authentic, you know, it's altruistic and things like that. So I would assume that you've been influenced by Gary V.
Oh, tremendously. Yeah. I've got his books are on my shelf right here. You know, he calls it the kidult category, right? The kidult category. And, you know, he's tapping into that also. Love what Gary V does. He's definitely a huge reason why I'm in the NFT space right now. It was between him and Mark Cuban that, you know, I respected both of them, and they were both talking so heavily about it. And V Friends is the first community I got involved in. And that's where I was blown away by the community aspect. Now, you know, Gary's community is massive, right? He's got a massive following. There's like 150,000 people in the Discord. It's insane. You know, that's really what started to pull me in, and I had to get involved.
Well, and you're no slouch either here. You know, for everyone that's listening, I'm going to kind of go through on YouTube, and I'm going to share the OpenSea page here for the Bulls and Apes project. You know, because Anthony, this is a pretty big project. I mean, you've got 10,500 items in your, and I guess this is your flagship project, the main Bulls and Apes, right? Because there's teens and there's some other side project, which there's some depth. There's some depth, baby.
There is.
But I mean, you've got over 10,501 items with a floor price of 0.749 ETH. That's impressive that you were able to keep this type of value and this type of engagement on your Twitter, on your Discord, throughout what we're looking at is kind of like an NFT winter right now. What do you think has set yourself apart? Where do you see yourself going to move forward? So as we go through this, you know, kind of come out the other side of this winter and look at more so, I think, at utility.
Yeah. So we have this two sides to our utility coin. On the one side is the fun. It's the NFT side. It's the gamification. So we didn't just release an ERC-20 token like a lot of projects have. We released it with in-depth gamification behind it. We released it with the lore that brings that gamification to life. And that has a huge part of the stickiness to it, a huge part of, you know, people coming back, you know, each day. And the other two co-founders, so it's myself, it's Manny and Guy. Manny and Guy come from a gaming background, so they have a lot of experience building and delivering mobile games, so they get the psychology to it. And a lot of what we do pulls from some of that gaming experience, where we didn't build a game, but it's certainly a gamified tokenomic structure. It's a gamified NFT. On the other side of the coin is the financial side. So we have, and Manny in particular has, very deep connections in the VC world. So we bring VC deal flow opportunities to our community. So you hold a bull, you're in the inner circle, and you have access to this curated deal flow. We've done 20 deals so far. Two of those deals, one was OpenSea, the other was SpaceX. So our community owns, our community own pieces of SpaceX and own pieces of OpenSea.
Yeah, that's so, you know, very much like a traditional mastermind that yes. People spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to be part of. And the value is being in the room where it happens, some high value networking, but also getting access to some lucrative deals.
But there's also, I just want to kind of flesh this idea out, because I the other thing, JC, that's interesting to me about this is by putting the NFT, because you probably aren't going to have, correct me if I'm wrong, 10,000 people within your inner circle.
No.
Right?
No, it's roughly 1,500 right now. Yeah.
Sure. So, but you've got a ton of owners out there that maybe aren't part of the inner circle, but they're still kind of like, I guess the inner circle is kind of like the core that's keeping the project together, and everyone else is kind of coming around that to try to get the halo effect. Is that right?
Well, they're all officially in the inner circle, but they're not all very active and engaged, right? So we have a core that's active and engaged. But they all have access to the VC deal flow. Not everybody is taking advantage of that. Some people just aren't connected. A lot of people buy NFTs and they just store them. They keep them aside, and they're not very, very active and engaged. Others are extremely active and engaged, very active. And so it's that spectrum.
So one thing, I'm going to ask this question on behalf of our listeners, kind of know what they want to know. Talk a little bit about what you mean by gamification. Now, I have my own idea, but because here's the deal, because of the scars that people have, you know, especially with an ape or something like that, you know, that comes from the days where people bought these pictures, and at the end, you know, when the rush went away, there was no, so that's when with the birth of utilities and gamification. So explain, when you go to Bulls and Apes, and you hold one of these things, I understand that it gets you in that inner circle and you gain access to some deals. But how does the gamification component of it work?
Yeah, no, and I get it, right? A lot of people are burned by, okay, another ape project, another derivative of Bored Apes, people trying to just, you know, suck off of that brand and that name and that attention. For us, you know, what we talk about with gamification and what makes us different is, right from day one, we had our ERC-20 token, which is called Methane. So it's a play on bulls create methane. So you, just by owning a bull.
That's genius, by the way.
And, you know, the community has fun with it. They're trading meth, and their teen has to go and earn meth. And
So do people call themselves meth addicts? I mean,
it's all over awesome. The place. There's the meth corner. Our community's trading
you
meth.
Got, on you got to do corner. A you got to do a play on Breaking Bad to just keep going down that hole. You know,
I know it's people have fun with it. So it's own to earn. And so there's no jumping through hoops. You're not staking. You know, we have two law firms right now. We're bringing in a third. You know, we are very, very cautious about how we're a U.S. entity. And so we're very, very cautious about how we approach everything to do with our project. So our methane token, it's an in-game utility token. And we have, you know, none of the staking. It's not, you know, you're own to earn. And you're own to earn in order to play the game. And so what I mean by playing the game is, when you earn these methane tokens, you're able to trade them in for other NFTs, other assets. So the bulls, the initial version of the tokenomics, the bulls, you can breed them. There's some science behind it. The two bulls could breed. You get an incubator. You go from an incubator to a teen. Then you burn a teen to get to a merger orb. And methane's used throughout the process. Now, once you have the merger orb, you were able to get to a god bowl with four other teams where their energy came together through the merger orb. So that's all laid out in the lore. And that was how you played the game to get yourself to a god bowl. Now,
Anthony, quick question. Where is the game played? You talk about the game. Is that like inside of our wallet or is there an actual like interface?
On our website.
On the website. Okay, cool. Yep. Sorry to break you off. I was just trying to keep up with the way all this works. It's interesting. Yeah.
And so we have a My Collection. So our website is, I mean, it's pretty kick-ass. It's easy to use. It's very intuitive and it walks you through the process. So you have your My Collection page. You can go and collect your methane. You can then move that to, you know, burning and getting the additional assets. So the God Bulls now have God powers. They as part of the lore, as the lore went on, they developed God powers, and so they were able to create one of three powers. So there's a meth machine, there's a replenishment, and there's a resurrection. So all of those teens that were burned, now with this God power, you could resurrect one of them from the underworld and bring them back alive. And so that is some of the fun that we've done. And now we're coming up with the Ape Collection is coming up next. That's February 7th. And we've got some additional gamification that we're gonna apply to the apes.
This is super cool. I love the idea of birthing, like giving a little bit of creative rights to the owner to come together with somebody else. I would assume Mark and I would have to get permission for our wives before we birth something. But all of these things that you're explaining is just making me think like somebody on the Bulls and Apes team is like definitely experiencing with psychedelics or something. I mean, birthing gods and all that stuff, but very, very creative. The closest thing that I could say Mark and I have experienced was when we got involved with book games. So that was a fun idea, but I think that you're taking it to a new level. I love this.
Yeah. I think with the lore helps bring it to life and the creativity around the lore. And now so that we've got about an hour of narrated storyboard lore, and you can see these different character developments happening, and it can go in so many different areas. And one of the things that hasn't happened yet, which I'm really, really interested in seeing, you know, everything that we try to do it the Web3 way. Even though I'm, you know, got to my gray hair and I come from the corporate background, and Manny and Guy come from Web2, we try to do things the Web3 way. And the way that we build out the IP, I can't wait for there to be fan fiction. And, you know, similar to Star Wars, we had all these fan fiction items and paths that went. I can't wait for somebody to take their bull and then start to create, you know, different channels off of the core lore that we have. That's going to happen. I know it'll happen. And I'm really interested to see where the community takes it.
Just to clarify for everybody, can you just give a quick little two sentence? What is lore?
So lore is the story behind the bulls. Why bulls? Where do they come from? There's a creator character there. There's Subject One. There's Red. There's the captain. You see why the apes come into the picture. So it tells the story behind the collection.
Yeah, very, very attractive to that community. That must be, what's your Discord like? That's got to be pretty fun.
It is fun. There's a lot going on in the Discord. There's a lot of... we have conspiracy theory teams, people that are coming up with, okay, what's going to happen next and what's going to happen with the apes. And, you know, so everybody's trying to predict, you know, what's going to happen next in the storyline. And a lot of times the way the community is interacting with the tokens and the game, that has actually made its way into the storyline. And so the community gets super excited where, like, as an example, they've really come together around this Alpha t-shirt. And so they're called the Alpha Club. And so the Alpha has made it into the storyline. There's guilds. There's a Northwest, South, and East guild. And some of the community were collecting gods from each guild, and they called it a compass. Well, the god compass, it made its way into the lore. That wasn't something that we came up with, but the community did. And so it's real, real fun to start to see the community actions coming to life in the lore as well.
Community, I mean, and that's, I think, at the end of the day, what really drives the NFTs. And by creating your own lore, your own brand, it makes it, you know, irreplicable, right? Which is something that's important. We don't want people to be able to replicate our non-fungible tokens. No fungibility over here. I do have a quick question, Anthony. Twitter Spaces, How important is Twitter Spaces for you and your NFT project in reaching new people, in developing the idea, in connecting with other potential collaborators?
It's massively important. So the way I look at community is, in the traditional world, customers are at arm's length, and maybe you do focus groups, and you know, maybe you do surveys, and maybe you get some feedback from customers, but it's mostly at arm's length. In the Web3 space and NFTs in particular, you've got this community that has skin in the game. They care about the brand probably just as much as you do in some cases. And so it's really important that you lead with the community, that you're not just leading within the walls of your company, you're leading in the community as well. And in order to lead, you got to walk the halls. You got to see what's going on, and you got to go where your community is. And so if your community is in Discord, you go there. If your community is on Twitter, you go in there. I'm in Twitter DM groups. I'm in other Discords that our community has created. And, you know, we're hosting Twitter Spaces often. You know, we're on Twitter Spaces often. Right now we do Tokenomics Tuesdays. So since we know we're pretty complex, we teach our tokenomics on Tuesday nights. We're doing Welcome Wednesdays, is where we're welcoming new community members. And then we have a tokenization initiative that I'm sure we'll touch on. We have Tokenization Thursdays, where we welcome in new tokenized communities. So we do it at least three times a week, where we're meeting with the community.
Yeah, talk to us a little bit more about that tokenization. Because I got to say, in my experience, tokens at first glance can be very, you know, they're complicated. And to me, one of the biggest barriers of entry into the NFT space for the mainstream is complexity, is simplifying things down. You know, I mean, I guess the flip side of that is, when there's more layers, there's more hoops to jump through, people feel more connected to a project at the same time. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it completely makes sense. And that is a bit of an obstacle for Bulls and Apes, where people at first blush, they look at it and like, oh, that's too complex, I'm not going to get it. But because we lay it out in steps, once somebody does take that step in, it's really easy for them to catch up and to move along. Tokenization was our way of pushing the envelope on the blockchain technology. So blockchain technology, it's just a ledger. You know, it just keeps track of who owns what, and it doesn't care what asset is part of another NFT project. Right? It's just a bunch of numbers on a ledger, and who owns those numbers. And that's all it looks after. One of the aspects, like I mentioned earlier, that I love about the blockchain is removing the gatekeepers, removing the intermediaries. That includes the project founders, who could be intermediaries on what value gets delivered to their holders. So we're turning it on its head a little bit and saying, forget, yes, we're going to reward our holders, but we're also going to reward holders of other projects' NFTs. So we've tokenized 70 projects so far. And if you hold one of the NFTs from one of those projects, you can come on our site and you can earn methane. And now with methane, you could start playing our game alongside our holders. So we are really pushing the envelope on what it means to build community in Web3.
I got a question. This is super cool, by the way. Well thought out, and love the energy behind it, because you're obviously a child at heart. I love that. It's funny how adults are more than ever children now. So
funny and scary at the same time.
Funny, yeah, and scary, yeah, which is one of the reasons why Mark and I get along so well. So here's an interesting thing that I'm sure you're aware of this, but I'm just once again speaking for the audience, because, you know, go to Bulls and Apes. I think it's bullsandapesproject.com.
Bullsandapes.com gets you there too.
Okay, bullsandapes.com. So if you go there, you're going to see, you know, access to OpenSea, and you're going to see the NFTs, and you're going to see information about a lot of stuff that people look at and they go, where do I start? So just, if you could just answer, I mean, this would probably be beneficial because people are going to go to the website. If somebody wants to get involved in what you're doing, but also leverage themselves in there, what's the approach? Because I would assume a lot of people go there, get confused sometimes because they're not knowledgeable. They haven't listened to all of our earlier episodes yet. How does somebody get involved in Bulls and Apes?
Yeah, so we have education courses there. Also, we've produced an NFT 101 course. So if someone's brand new to NFTs, it's a free course that's available. Um, we We put a whole curriculum together for it. It's only 30 minutes, I would say, and there's 11 modules, 2 to 3 minutes each, so it's real bite size. But professional actress that we hired that facilitates the course, so it's really nicely put together, easy to consume. But outside of that, you could go onto our site. We created our own ranking tool called Trait Ranks. And Trait Ranks is the easiest way to navigate and to browse the collection. So you don't have to go to OpenSea, you don't have to go to another marketplace. You could browse our collection right on our site. You can see what's for sale, what's not for sale. Ultimately, it'll get you a link to OpenSea, but it's a real easy way for you to learn a little bit about our collection. You'll be able to toggle back and forth between teens and bulls, so it's real easy to take a look at what might appeal to you. We have our lore, which is a good way to get familiar with the project. It talks through the gamification in the lore, so that's another way for you to get comfortable. And then, if you wanted to converse with other people that are already in the community, the Discord is the best place to do that. And there, our community is just really friendly, very knowledgeable about how to approach it. Everybody was new at one point, and so the community is the best way for you to go in there. Ask a question. We have a fully paid moderator team, which a lot of projects it's volunteers, but ours are professionals. They're paid, and we take the moderation in the community very seriously as well. So there's always somebody there to answer a question.
So cool, Mark. How I just went there and checked it out. How he takes all of that time to like educate people first. You know, there's nothing more powerful than somebody that makes a decision after they've learned. And I know, I mean, God, we've been subjected to impulse buying and stuff like that. I love the fact that you're also educating. Very, very NFTs made simple, he is.
And also, one of the things that we did for the Bull Mint, and we're doing again for the 8 Mint, is we had a 6-month ETH back guarantee for anybody who minted a bull.
I saw that, man. I said, this
guy's... how do you do that?
Yeah.
How do you do that? So basically, it's a money back guarantee. If within 6 months you're not happy, you get your ETH back. How do you do that? I've never seen that before.
So there's two caveats. You can't buy or sell it. So it's not for somebody who bought on secondary, and you couldn't have used any of the gamification. So you couldn't have played the game. So it's just like when you buy a product in a store, if you used it, you wouldn't be able to return it. So it's the same kind of aspect. You know, you need to be the person that minted, and you couldn't have, used any of the utility.
But what you're saying is so powerful. Because what you're saying is that if you don't get any value out of this, we don't want you to get your money back.
1,000%.
Because that's what it would be. It would be somebody that bought it and then maybe said, what did I just do? Or this is not right for me. Just the fact that you're doing that is just, I've never heard of anybody doing that.
And in this bear market, so May 31st, we minted. Thanksgiving weekend, end of November, was the end of the 6 months. So we know how painful that period of time was. Out of 10,000 bulls, 15 were refunded. 15.
Wow. You know,
those people feel like losers right now.
Well, that was, we did a little bit of a graphic that shows all the bulls that were refunded. And some of them are very rare bulls. And so we're showing the floor, what they got back and what the floor price was. And it's a tough picture to look at if you were one of the ones that refunded it.
Hindsight's definitely 2020. Super cool project, Anthony. I appreciate you coming on and just really opening up the books, telling us more about this project. Thebullsandapes.com. That's where you need to go, baby. That's where you need to go. And, I just want to reiterate one point. I think it's something that strikes me is that when going through a difficult economic time, it's the people that innovate and try new things that are really going to just dominate and explode. Mm. And I think that the approach that you're taking of making it easier to get involved with a layer of complexity, but making it easy to get involved, easy layers of education, I think that is going to be really big, especially when you're speaking to entrepreneurs and innovators and people that have money, don't want to get left behind. Don't want to miss out on the Web3 space, but the idea that I could get into it, but if it's not for me, I can get my money back. That's right in line with me with Alex Hormozy's make an offer so good people feel stupid saying no, because you lay it all out and they say, if you don't like it, I'll even get your money back. Right. So that's, I think that's really part of the reason why your project is thriving at this point when many projects are not. Well done.
It's conviction. We have the conviction in the technology, in the space, and in what we're doing, and so it makes it easy for us to move the way that we do.
That's proof of what you said when we opened up, and you know, I listened to another interview that you know Anthony was doing, and you know, basically when they first started looking at this, they realized that they were thinking about doing it at probably the worst time ever, because you know there was a lot of scams going on and. That winter Mark talked about, and they said, what should we do? And Anthony said, well, that's not us. So let's lean into it. And that's an example of him not just saying that, him backing it up. So a lot of respect.
Yeah, we've been doing it for months now. So we're here. We're here to stay. We're not going anywhere.
Yeah. Dig it. Thanks for joining us, Anthony. I will have links below. Definitely check out the project at bullsnamesproject.com and definitely a Twitter page that you need to be following, people. You know, own it. Link below. See ya.
Thanks.
Yo, Dragon, wasn't that a dope convo with Anthony?
You know, it's been a while since I've been this excited and reinvigorated about it. You know, I'm just excited to see this new breath, and this guy's really got his act together. So yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, I love the complexity of this project. Because I think part of what a lot of NFT projects fail to do is capture people, to keep people coming back. It's really buy this token, put it in your wallet, and then maybe in 5 years you'll think about it. But the fact that there's complexity, there's lore, there's different levels, there's tokens, there's a cryptocurrency attached to it with the meth, I think is enough to keep people invested in continuously coming back. And I think that, you know, we just talked about this a little bit, JC, but the complexity is also kind of a scary thing too. If it's too complicated, people don't know how to get started. But if it's not complicated, it's not complicated enough, it's not going to hold people's interest.
Yeah, you got that right. But I'm not going to lie. After that interview, I'm thinking about becoming an addict.
don't sound clip that. All right. We'll catch you here next time on NFTs Made Simple. See ya.